This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, everybody. Here we go. It's 8 past 12. Chad Hartman, Chris Tubbs in one more day. Harrigan is back. You just heard Laura with the news. Regulars Friday. That means Major in about a little less than 30 minutes. Feisty Friday with Shaletta. And another Am I Wrong with Chris Tubbs. He was excellent a few weeks ago with Am I Wrong. We have plenty of other topics to get to. But I'm going to start actually with Chris Tubbs because it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, driving, maybe it was the 6 o'clock hour, maybe it was the 7 o'clock hour. I don't remember. But all of a sudden, it is Henry Lake, Chris Tubbs, and a chicken pot pie.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it is a battle. It is on one side of the aisle, Henry Lake and the chicken pot pie.
Yes.
On the other side of the aisle is Chris Tubbs facing his food demon,
mm-hmm.
his food albatross, his food object that he was convinced he could not deal with. And we'll get to what happened with Tubbsy in a second, but I want you to text me right now, or if you want to call in, what food, and we'll get to plenty of other serious stuff, but what food, just the thought of consuming this food puts you in the fetal position, makes you think, oh my God, can I do anything but that?
Makes me want to fast.
Yes, makes you want to give up.
Stop makes, eating forever.
Makes you want to say, if I have to eat that, is the other option Guantanamo Bay? I mean, what else do I have? What is your food psychological barrier? Because most of the time, it's in our head. God knows I face things that are in my head and I can't overcome. Food, I'm pretty lucky. My oldest boy faced a lot of food issues. He really did. He has overcome them.
Good.
And he is now not a very good. He is a great chef. Which, if you'd have told me when Hunt and I were having our, okay, what can I do? Let me be the incentivizer here. Let me be the line in the sand guy. Let me try something. If somebody had told me 25 years ago that my boy would now be willing to try all these different foods and be so unbelievably good at it. His mother is a great cook. Her son is a better cook, and she knows that. And I'm telling you, Kathleen is an amazing cook. So it can happen.
Good for him for not only overcoming whatever he didn't like,
yeah,
but turning it into an asset and being really good at it.
Yes.
Like it takes a special talent to be able to do that, like that entire process.
He has one thing that anybody in our family has, some serious stubbornness. Some serious determination.
I never got the stubborn gene from you, Chad. Never.
Yeah, there's another person who's on the radio here that had a little bit of stubbornness in him, too, let me tell you. All the kids in my family have that. I'm lucky. So I need a medical team to keep me, you know, upright and above ground. So I have someone I believe in massively, a guy named Dr. Pat O'Brien, the health architect. You should see Pat. He's so good. He's not paying me anything. I just believe in him. As an example, like most of the wild see him. Like one of the last times I was there, no, it was a couple times ago. I'm walking on who's behind me? Kaprizov. So I text Garen, I go, I don't know how I should feel because your star is waiting for me to get done with the doctor.
You and Dollar Bill Kirill, side by side.
I go, I don't know if that's an indictment on Kirill. Or you might want to look at me because floor hockey, fourth grade, I was an excellent goaltender.
I was going to say, can you play goaltender?
Yeah. Against fourth graders many, many years ago, and as long as I could use Tom Westrum's glove, okay? He's trying to convince me to have sardines. He's trying to convince me that sardines... one of the best foods on the planet for you. So I recently bought sardines. I opened the can. I looked at those things. They look like torture to me.
They have like the eyes and everything?
Yes.
Like, no.
Yes.
If you show me something that's got the head that can look at me with the eye, no, I'm good.
I feel it. What's that thing? Billy Mouth Bass. What was the thing? You know, where you'd put it on the wall and it would sing to you?
The Big Mouth. Billy Bass or something.
Billy Bass is like, I felt like this sardine was going to start. What do you think? Bite in. And by the way, I love me some oysters. Okay. I'll have oysters. So maybe I just needed to put a lot of horseradish on there and spicy cocktail sauce or something.
I've heard that's what you have to do with oysters. You have to gussy it up somehow.
Okay. Oysters, I know. Okay. I love oysters. Love, love, love. Sardines, I'm saying maybe I have to do that with the sardines, too, because they just looked just slimy and gross.
Yeah. No.
Okay. So I want – you're going to come back. You're going to tell a little bit of the chicken pot pie story.
Okay. Okay.
But I want people to either call or text. What is the one food right now where you think, yeah, I'd give up maybe one of my kids if I had to eat that that item. I'm doing anything but having that food. And maybe did you overcome it? Because I can assure you, I heard Chris Tubbs, he didn't overcome it. He just did it because Lane and Lake were browbeating him. I mean, the program director, the station, what's Lane's fancy title now? Station programming guru. I mean, he's a programming brain wizard.
Yeah, it's a lot of big words, but I love you, Brad.
Yeah,
but it's a lot of words you put on a business card.
I don't think you loved him when he was encouraging Henry to borderline browbeat you into having the chicken pot
pie. I was being bullied. Yes.
Yeah, there could be damages. I felt bad for you. We know Lake's worth millions and millions of dollars. I'm willing to be a part of a suit against H. Lake and win some of those nice suits he has.
I need some punitive damage with some Lululemon.
Yeah, that way, and his Tom Ford. You know, he's got a giant vat of that.
Yes, he does.
In the closet, which makes him smell rather nice. What's your food obstacle that you cannot overcome? What sickens you when you think about that possibility? We'll talk about how it worked out with Tubbsy and a chicken pot pie. Plenty of serious stuff later. Let's have some fun early. 16 past 12. 651-461-9226. Again, it's 651-461-9226 on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, what's your food that just you find repulsive? Tubbsy, go quick. Tell people why chicken pot pie was your obstacle.
Because of the peas.
The
peas. I hate peas. I've always hated peas. I will not give peas a chance. And anything with peas, they disgust me.
So the worst would have been just a small plate of peas.
Yes.
So you're okay with the crust. You're okay with the chicken. Potatoes.
Yeah, even a little bit of the carrots. Like, I'm not a big fan of cooked carrots, but I can kind of do that. But it's like the peas. If I could get a pot pie that didn't have the peas,
yeah,
we'd be in business.
Yeah.
But outside of that, no. Hard pass.
This isn't going to be a regular feature, is it, on the H. Lake Show, where they're going to torture you with other foods?
I've heard that they want to, but I have not been consulted, so therefore I am withholding judgment until I figure what I can get out of the deal other than good rot.
Here's the deal. Money. Yeah, money.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting a cut of the sponsorship, or I'm getting an extra zero in the paycheck.
Yeah, pay me. Pay me. If I find this gross and I find it, yeah. By the way, next time, how about H. Lake? How about H.? Which food does Henry not like?
Oh, it's his show. Just like this is.
Exactly. But he should try the food he doesn't enjoy. Mm. Fair. Bill has called in. Bill, what do you have for us? Thanks so much.
Yeah. So when I was in college, I took a semester off to go to Japan, and actually delivered furniture with my college roommate, who's Japanese. And his mom would make us lunch every day for work. And in that lunch, a lot of great things, but there was also boiled pumpkin. Worst thing I've ever had.
What?
She made it every day. Yeah, boiled. It tasted like somebody took an old leather shoe, dropped it in boiling water, let it boil for 25 minutes, pulled it out, and sliced it off. It was the worst thing. My roommate was like, I can't eat this. And he's like, dude, that's so disrespectful to my mom if you don't eat that. I was like, all right. So I ate it every day.
Every day?
Disrespect to his mom.
Oh, my God.
Every day.
God.
Yeah.
Did you
never
at any
again.
Time in the napkin and then threw it away or go to the bathroom?
I mean, when you've got the chopsticks, there's really not a lot of space for napkin there. So. And they didn't let me use a fork, so.
Yeah. That's a heck of a summer sojourn, though, by the way. Hey, you want to help me move things? Yeah, how about we go to Japan and do it? That's
you know, best time of my life, because like that was the time before cell phones. So I just, you know, I went to one of the biggest cities, Fukuoka, Japan, without a cell phone, without maps, walked around and found my way around.
Oh,
and
man.
Such a different time, but it was just amazing.
That's a great call, Bill. Thanks so much. I appreciate you listening. Adam, it's 23 past 12. Go ahead, sir. You're on CCO.
Well, I have a rather controversial one. A state fair staple.
Yeah.
The turkey leg.
Oh, wow.
I just gag thinking about it. And it's not just that.
You're no Henry VIII. I know that.
Walking around just gnawing on it like some barbarian. And the other one, too, is the corn husk. Watching people gnaw on that like I love the state fair. But those two stands are kind of next to each other, right across from grandstand. I avoid that section all the time.
Okay.
Like if your booth was over there, I would never see you.
Okay. They're gnawing on the corn and the cob, though, aren't they? They're just not eating the husk, right?
No, but they're going around like a typewriter. And stuff flying everywhere. And just like at Thanksgiving, I don't let people sit next to me when they're eating corn on the cob, because it's impossible for them to eat it and not squirt out the side and hit you.
Wait a second. What kind of family serving corn on the cob on Thanksgiving? Get out of here. I mean, that's really.
We have like a 14-course meal.
Yeah.
Dad. It's ridiculous.
Okay, now what about cream-style corn? Where do you stand on that?
Oh, God, no. No, nothing cream. Nothing cream. Mushroom cream soup, get out of here.
Oh,
God, no. I have food aphasia, no doubt about it. My wife makes fun of me all the time. But, like, there's certain things she eats. I'm like, don't look at me. I can't. Don't. No.
You guys don't look me in the eye. Hey, you know, I'm married to your toots. Everything's good. But don't look me in the eye. Very funny, as always. Thank you. I appreciate it, Adam. He's very good. All right, let's get to some of the texts. Guacamole. Wow. I love guacamole. That you talk about foods I would not want to take out of my diet.
I'm pro guac.
Kalamata olives. I'm a big olive person, okay? Liver and onions, I'm with you. Liver just sounds awful, but here's the weird thing. About once every 3 years, well, I'll say that two things. We used to go, what was the Japanese steakhouse that was downtown close to Loring Park? And Chris, this is in the 90s when they didn't have the filters as much. You'd go in there. The food was great. You'd want to basically burn your clothes. Do you remember the name?
Ichiban.
Ichiban. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Lindsay. There was no filter, right?
No.
No. I mean, you just had to throw your clothes away afterwards.
Right.
But they would grill up the...
Bay of sushi.
Yeah, exactly. they would grill up these chicken livers that were good. And then a bit of the chicken liver, is it pate? Is that what we go? I don't mind that. It's like, honestly, maybe once every 3-4 years. But just cooked liver? Oh.
I don't want to eat something that sounds like an organ, right? I mean, like a heart.
Not only sounds like
it
an
is,
organ.
It is an organ. Yeah. I graduated from outstate Minnesota, so I didn't get all of the anatomy when I was in school.
Don't ever forget, I once said, what is the name of that bridge in Stillwater that's a lift bridge? What's it called again, that Stillwater lift bridge?
The lift bridge?
Yeah. Carter finally called, came out and said, you mean the Stillwater lift bridge? Now, Cook has chimed in. For Cook, it's broccoli. Now, Dan definitely has a narrow palate. He does. But for him, he is saying, for him, it's almost all vegetables. I don't know. Dan would have to tell me.
I could see that.
I'm thinking his over-under number of vegetables Cook has had in the entirety of his life, maybe 13. And I'm not saying 13 different ones. 13 total times he's had a vegetable. But broccoli. Whereas for me, I love broccoli. Where do you stand on broccoli?
I'm pro-broccoli. I like steamed broccoli. I like it when you add cheese to it.
Like, yep.
Broccoli's good.
Okay, is this a bit? I'll just jump in. Stewed duck tongue. Who's having that? And is it nothing? It's some meme that I've just fallen into. If we get fired, thanks a lot. 11 weeks pregnant, literally anything. I'm so sorry. Steak tartare. That's very la-di-da. Mm-hmm. I could see you. Can I be la-di-da here?
Yeah, be la-di-da.
I like it.
You like tartare?
I like steak tartare.
Do you like to say, is it tartare or can you say tartar? Or
no, tartar's different.
Tartar's different.
I like tartar sauce too.
Okay.
But steak tartare.
Tartare.
How about foods I like that nobody on planet Earth likes? Corned beef hash. No, I like corned beef hash. Come on. Oysters in the half shell. Besides the snotty consistency, people die for them once in a while. No, thank you.
Snotty consistency, I don't care what you're talking about. When those two words are together, I'm out.
I love them. Any and all condiments. Wow. Who is this, Carter? Bringing me back a sandwich? When he brought me back the what was the place again? I had the wreck there. I forget. He brought me back. I mean, again, I was asking him to go get. I think he was getting himself food. Maybe I even buy. Carter, remind me. And he brought me back a sandwich, Tubbs. Nothing on it. You know, of course, I don't want mayonnaise because mayonnaise is disgusting, and bottom dwellers enjoy a mayonnaise. But like mustard and all the oils and different things. Nothing.
Nothing. Just a dry sandwich.
Dry sandwich.
Mm. Call that a sandwich.
Someone doesn't like chocolate-covered pretzels. What? Cooked cabbage. I like some, coleslaw.
Coleslaw is good. That's about the end of it, though.
Yeah. Sauerkraut and broccoli. See, I love sauerkraut. Black olives, Josh says. I'm a big olives guy.
I can do olives, yeah.
Do you like olives on your pizza?
Yes. My wife hates them. My daughter loves them. My wife hates them. We just say she just picks it off and she's fine.
Dexter, give peas the chance. Isn't that a Lennon song?
It's pretty good. Well done, Dexter.
Dislike canned cream corn. I kind of like canned cream corn. Brussels sprouts are gross. Get out of here. Fried chicken gizzards. I've had those before. I can say I've had it. I'm not going back.
Hmm.
This person doesn't like cooked hot cereal. As an example, oatmeal. Done with oatmeal. I didn't see that coming. Did you?
So they've never had like a good bowl of malto meal in the winter?
I guess not.
Malto meal is great.
And then the number of people coming through with lutefisk. Lutefisk. Oh, that's one. That's a good one for me. Looks horrible, tastes horrible, and I think those who enjoy it have been hypnotized because there's no reason to enjoy it.
Just because it's a Minnesota thing,
don't
feel like we have to?
Yeah, don't tell me because other people in the state like it. You have to do it. No, stand tall. Major Garrett, we'll start with, listen, we can talk about politics. No, what food does Major find repulsive? Then we'll get to Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, and plenty of other topics with Major. On CCO. Major's here. It's 37 past 12. Major's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Before we jump into it, we just were discussing foods that we all find repulsive, that we want no part of. We would need multiple kids held hostage before we consumed a bite of it, okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
Give me a food for you.
The very top of that list is deviled eggs.
Oh, really? Wow. Why? Awful. They're good. They're
awful.
Excellent.
No, they're terrible. They're terrible. They're rancid. They're awful. Even when they're made perfectly, they're terrible.
They're rancid. Wow.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I'm going to send you like a giant box of deviled eggs. They'll be good, too, because they'll be shipped from Plymouth to D.C. You want to see rancid, open that box up, my friend. Oh my.
And because I am a person of a certain age, I grew up right in the middle of the Tupperware rage in America.
Sure.
You know? And Tupperware created an entire container with little scalloped openings to put in deviled eggs. And everyone in my family, except me, loved deviled eggs. So every picnic, every family gathering, out came the Tupperware. And, of course, all the deviled eggs were showered in bright red paprika. You know, all of that nonsense and garbage.
Good stuff. Yeah.
The worst.
Good
the
stuff.
Worst.
Okay. Speaking of families, Adam Carter, Jordana Green on before us, they were talking, what is the right amount of time to spend at a family reunion? Right amount of time to spend at a family reunion. I'm going to give you my view on that. I like to drive by in my car, give them a big wave. Hey, how you doing? And then keep going on with the rest of my day. That's the amount of time I want to spend at a family reunion. Where is Major Garrett with family reunions?
Arrive Friday afternoon, depart first thing Sunday.
Wow. You're all in. Now I'm not talking to your children. I'm talking like Cousin Eddie, you know, and Aunt Mildred. Okay, not your kids. They don't count. These are like your second cousins from the Ozarks who want to talk to you about like Wheel of Fortune because they think you're on the same network. Okay, so don't give me the kids. Okay, now how much time are you spending with them?
About as much time as it takes for a traffic light to change.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Very, very good. All right, where do we start? Another week where it's just incredibly busy. Washington Post just tweeting out, it is now official, what we've known, that the vice president has officially become the head of the ticket and has sealed the nomination. By the time we chat next week, unless something dramatically changes, she will have selected her vice president. It seems like we know the contenders, including Tim Walz from this state, Senator Mark Kerry, Governor Josh Shapiro, Governor Andy Beshear. I don't know if we want to include the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, but you know this well. You were right on the Vance pick pretty much all along. I know a lot of people are trying to say 1 + 1 = 2. And so considering there's a big event on Tuesday and it's in Pennsylvania, it's got to be Shapiro. But I saw somebody tweet out the other day the locations where numerous vice presidential nominees were announced and about none of them were in their home states. So where do you think we're headed?
No, the Pennsylvania location is not about the nominee's running mate. It's about the importance of Pennsylvania. Let's not overcomplicate things. There is no map that works and really works reliably for Kamala Harris and whoever she puts on the ticket that doesn't include Pennsylvania. It is conceivable that Kamala Harris, now the no longer presumptive nominee, the nominee of the Democratic Party for president, could win without Pennsylvania, but it is excruciatingly difficult. And if Trump wins Pennsylvania, you have to believe he's going to win other the places that Kamala Harris would need to win to offset Pennsylvania. So the importance of Pennsylvania is not to say, oh, it's Josh Shapiro because that match. No, it's, hey, America number one place. It all starts here and builds out from here. So, look, I don't know who it's going to be. I think there's been a late push for J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois. I think the probability of that is next to zero, but there's a push. Pete Buttigieg has a substantial fundraising network, and they have stood themselves up to make themselves visible, and you can never ignore that. I think it's a low probability, but you cannot ignore that. I will say this for the good governor of Minnesota. He has put on a late and significantly important push for this on his own, without a donor network or without a lot of wherewithal, financial and otherwise, as J.B. Pritzker has, the governor of Illinois. So I don't think you can rule Governor Waltz out. I still believe, in the end, this will come down to personal connection and comfortability and biography. And on that score, I think Mark Kelly has the inside track.
Yeah. I mean, the biography, no one can top that in this field.
And it's a double biography. It's a double biography. It's not just Mark Kelly.
Right.
It's Gabby Giffords.
Yeah.
And for a party that identifies, and for young voters who do care about, because they have either directly or indirectly or from a distance been traumatized by the rise and borderline epidemic of school shootings, they want someone who's responsive to talk about that issue and who can talk about it in a way that will not be instantaneously dismissed and demonized. There is no one in America who can speak with more authority on that, not only in general, but in a distinctly political context than Gabby Giffords.
So let's stay with Mark Kelly here for a little bit. Remind folks, the great major is with us. So there's more reporting on Kelly. I want you to try to tell me if it's legit, if it's just hyperbolic right now, on what affiliation he has with a spy balloon company, potentially maybe directly tied to China, indirectly tied, and then others suggesting a previous marriage and issues. It seems like no matter what, if you draw national, international scrutiny, we all love our stuff. And some stuff stands out more than others. On Kelly, are those two items or anything else you know preventative of the vice president saying, Mark, you're my guy?
That I don't know. At that level, I just don't know. And this is what's important about this decision. I don't know what Kamala Harris's scare factor is. I don't know what her risk probability ratios are. That's one of the things the country's going to learn. What are you going to take on board and defend and prosecute in your own way? What risk factors are you willing to live with in order to achieve something else? No one active in political life comes untainted. No one. No one is as white as the driven snow. And in this deeply polarized and partisan country, everything can, or anything can be made into something, at least for a news cycle or two. Whether it sticks, whether it becomes emblematic, or a way of interpreting Senator Kelly's entire approach to politics or role as vice president, that's for the country to decide if she goes in that direction. But one of the things that this process reveals is how careful you are, how calculated you are, and what risks you're willing to take in order to achieve the biggest prize in American politics.
Let's take a short pause, come back. Major Garrett, fabulous as always. We'll return in moments on the home of the Twins, CCO. Right back with Major. It's 49 past 12. Enormous news yesterday with a prisoner swap involving multiple countries. Journalist Evan Gershkovich comes back. Paul Whelan's been there 5.5 years. Russia gets assets back. This was very elaborate. There's a lot of reporting on it. CBS has been right in the middle of the reporting. What is unique about this prisoner exchange, Major, compared to others that we've witnessed under numerous presidents, including former President Trump?
The obvious is the multi-nation component part of it. So it's not just Russians in U.S. custody traded, hardly any. It's Russians in other countries' custody. And they, in the case of the Germans in particular, were not eager to give up someone that their judicial system had convicted for the murder was of a Chechen dissident in their country, Slovenians and others. All of the intricate diplomacy and negotiations and all the moving parts and keeping the Russians apprised and also engaged, that's part one. Part two, this was gaining momentum, and then some forces within Russia got wind of that momentum, and suddenly Alexei Navalny, the most important dissident of the modern era in Russia, ended up dead.
Yep.
And I was sitting at the anchor table this morning on CBS Mornings. It was someone's decision to stick the dullest, oldest, whitest guy in D.C. on the desk for the morning show. Okay. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I interviewed Jake Sullivan about this, and I said, look, why is it that we are forced to trade successful computer hackers who stole millions of dollars from Americans, assassins and spies, for journalists and other innocent Americans?
That's
why is that
question.
Equitable?
Yeah.
And he said, it isn't equitable. But guess what? We don't get to make that call.
They
have them, and we're not going to let them rot in jail, period. We'll give them their criminals. We'll get our innocence back. And that's a hard call that every president has to make. The third thing that makes this interesting, Chad, is in the case of Evan Gerskovich, for reasons known only to him, and he will have to spend the next week wiping the egg off of his face, former President Trump made videos and social media posts about his singular ability to win the release of Evan Gerskovich after he wins. And even before he's sworn in as president-elect, he and only he can achieve the freedom of Evan Gerskovich. Sorry, no, not true. And whatever that was about, whether it was meddling or just marketing, I don't know. But it was irrelevant to the facts of the existing administration, irrelevant to the facts understood by all the countries we worked with, and interestingly, irrelevant to Vladimir Putin. And you can read into that what you want.
Yeah. And also on Donald Trump, when he and his supporters are saying, well, when the president, and he deserves credit, that prisoners came back, but he never exchanged top-level Russians who were held either here or other places. That's just not true. The idea that he just, through his skill, was able to get Americans back without offering anything in return is utter nonsense, and the facts are out there on that. Speaking of Donald
look
Trump.
Look him up, yeah.
Yeah, look it up, yep. Speaking of Donald Trump, J.D. Vance is taking a great deal of criticism, and I think a fair amount of it is just. But I have this debate on a regular basis. We did earlier this week, and we just talked about the vice presidential nominee for the vice president herself. J.D. Vance, in the end, is he going to matter at all on the Trump ticket?
No.
Trump is such a force. Again, the childless cat ladies, if you have more kids, you should have more votes. Some of the things he said. I just think because of Trump, it's almost irrelevant.
I would say this. They're not irrelevant in the sense that they stick when part of the conversation about what a Trump-Vance presidency would mean is that it would mean things that we are not accustomed to debating, let alone implementing in this country. We've never had a debate about families getting more votes because they have three kids, and couples with two people and two adults in a house get only two votes. We've never had that conversation. What is that about?
It's ridiculous. That's why we haven't had the conversation.
And we've never had this sort of disdain, this kind of curdled intellectual contempt for people who choose not to have children. I don't understand what that's about. Especially, I don't understand that what that's about for a party that has always associated itself, if not with libertarian individuality, but rugged individuality, making your own decisions for the betterment of your own American life and your own American interpretation of what the American dream is. And if you've decided not to have children for this particular part of your life, that's your call.
Yeah.
And as I understood republicanism throughout most of my life, not only was that okay, that was really okay. But no, now we've got this finger-wagging guy saying, no, you're somehow anathema to America. I just think that is a very hard sell in the places where this election is going to be decided, suburban and exurban America.
You're at an airport right now. What is your move to keep yourself busy, amused, and the time to go by as fast as possible when you're at an airport?
I just read my Kindle. That's all. Yeah. I'm pretty basic. I'm pretty simple. I don't require
no juggling. You're not. You know, you're not just.
I can juggle. I can juggle, but I don't do that at airport.
Oh, what kind of juggler are you? 0 to 10.
Oh, I would say 5.
5. Very.
Yeah. I mean, I'm mildly amusing. I'm not breathtaking. No one is like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. That's like, oh yeah, you can juggle. Oh, get away from me, will you?
Which animals can you juggle?
Well, it all depends, but you know, I'm pretty successful with saber-toothed tigers.
Yeah, platypus potentially. a texter brings up an excellent point. Next time you're on CBS in the morning, or next time you're on the CBS Evening News, is it possible that your sign-off can be the copy machine?
You know, well, you'll find out because I'm subbing all next week for Nora and the week after. So you'll find out.
Okay, so, you know, it's a kicker, right? It's a lighthearted, it's a whimsical story about Martha in Missouri, and she's been selling lemonade, and she's 94 years old, and the whole community loves her. And you give that, Martha, we love you too. It's Major Garrett, everybody. Have a good night. I think it works. That's me sitting here as a... Yeah.
Well, yeah. We'll find out.
We'll find out. All right, go catch your flight. Thank you, sir.
All right, see ya.
Major, time for me to stop talking. It's time for you to invest in energy-efficient Infinity from Marvin Windows and receive free installation labor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.